Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live and direct from the phantom shores of the snowy Hudson River. My name is Ra, and I am here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. I want to welcome everybody. We have an amazing show lined up for you tonight. And my guest is my good buddy and a regular here on Spiral Radio. You all know him. And you can find Masaki Miyagawa at akida.com, akaida.com. And Masaki is among a short list of people that have a well-respected reputation in creating orgone-powered pyramids and all types of orgone pyramid tools. And he is one of the most innovative orgone pyramid creators on the planet, and has his own line of innovative rodent coil powered pyramids, and he comes from a long line of Buddhist priests, and Masaki's DNA is rich with ancestral knowledge, occult knowledge of how to get in touch with ancestral star knowledge, ancient healing abilities inside of our DNA that we can access inside every one of us. And, you know, the Mayans called these times we're living in now year zero, the coming of the fifth sun, the return of the wise men. And, you know, when this knowledge is awakened within you, it is awakening this wise man knowledge. And, you know, we've become in a society where separation has blinded us and made us step away from who we really are and our true abilities. And I know I'm going to bring out Masaki on in a second, but you guys, just to understand, you know, where our society is headed and what's going on. I mean, we are putting ourselves, blocking ourselves with borders. You know, the way that we have a police state patrolling us with guns and everything. This is a society that we're living in that we need to find tools to escape this programmed fear that is upon us, and using certain tools and certain devices that Saki makes and that Saki has on his website, akaita.com, we can find a way to activate this knowledge that's just lying inside of us. And, you know, humanity's – and I'm sorry if you guys hear that. It's the snowplow outside. But humanity's destiny depends upon how prepared we are for the change that's upon us. And I feel that we need to take action and become more positive to avoid this impending doom that we all are talking about. We're all considered and focusing on when the world is going to end. Well, instead of focusing on when the world is going to end, we should focus on why we're here and who we are and what we can do to make this a better place. And Misaki is one of these people. And tonight I hope we can help you sort of remember who you are and use some of these tools to help this change that's upon us. And our destiny depends on this. And, you know, there's a major crisis that's upon us. I mean, Misaki is the sun is setting right now, I'm sure, in California, and he's probably seeing the fires in the skyline. And over here, I have ice storms. So we have the fire and the ice, you know, right now upon us. And these times, you know, we need to remember and bring back the time of the wise men. And I want to bring back Misaki Miyagawa to Spiral Radio here tonight. Misaki, welcome.
Hi, Ra. Glad to be on. And that's right, from L.A. to New York. We got the fires raging over here. You were telling me it's snowing over there. So fire and ice, you know, we're in some interesting times. But we have the tools to keep ourselves balanced and keep the space around us high energy. So I don't know where you want to jump into, but, you know, there's a lot of things about the pyramids and the Oregon energy. So.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, for this being even a paranormal network and they talk about paranormal things, someone who's having paranormal activity or some kind of spirit activity or something like this, these devices can almost like draw a line in the sand, literally, right?
Well, you know, there's basically most people know me from, like you were saying, the pyramid power, the powered pyramids, the Oregon pyramids I make. You can check them out at akaida.com. That's akaida.com. The most common thing people would get it for is better sleep, you know, because we live in a sea of electronic pollution. You know, when we were kids, there was no such thing as smartphones, you know, the iPad, Wi-Fi. But now it's in everybody's homes. And actually, these energies, they're anti-biological. And they can actually also increase the paranormal activity. Because I think some people might be familiar with this concept. But these kind of, I don't know if you want to call them archontic energies or sort of negative energies, they can ride these networks like a neural net. You know, so yeah. we want to start reversing that, claiming our space. One way is with the pyramids. So to go to your question about the paranormal activity, some of my clients have told me some interesting stories. And there was one case here in L.A. that I don't know what it was, if it was connected to this woman or it was the house, but there was a lot of entities and things coming in the house, you know, to a high level, high degree. She got my pyramids, and then she said, you know what, she noticed a difference. Now, with some people, they may report using energy tools such as the pyramids that it might be totally cut out, like 100%. But there's always the factor of, you know, did you make a contract? You know, what else are you doing to call these things in, right? Do you have some karmic thing going on?
Yeah.
But this is very interesting. Check this out. She said that basically there was some kind of like little troll beings or things coming in through some portal. It's really crazy, right? This is what she was telling me, that they would come in her room and she would basically be hiding you know, under her blankets and just like peeking. This is like, this is really crazy, right? But she said when she started getting my pyramids, it was almost like a boundary. Like she would kind of put them around her bed and they would not cross where the pyramids were. It was like almost like a frequency border, you know? So that's an interesting story, right? So, but I would say in general, if you raise the energy potential, the so-called scalar potential or the orgone energy in your space, you know, lower frequency people, lower frequency beings or intelligences, they don't like that. So it's like, you know, it's basically like keeping your house clean, right? And if you've ever known low vibrational people, typically, you know, their living environment, it's like either very messy, could be very dark, could even be like moldy, you know. And this is a sign of a very low vibrational person. And you can even see that on Facebook. You know, look at people's profile without even really knowing too much about them. You can just tell by the patterns of what photos that they post on their profile. You're like, oh, okay, yeah. I kind of know where this person is coming from, right?
So. Yeah, yeah. Especially like if you see them like posting like demonic band pictures and like, you know, different bands like Cannibal Corpse and this and that. Like, you know, if you're listening to something where they're talking about eating flesh all the time, it kind of makes you wonder.
Well, I think this is one thing that it's important for people to learn or be aware of in the time that we're in and the time that we're moving into. You have to read the energy, because the surface level or what people are, what the words that are coming out of somebody's mouth,
yeah,
will not necessarily tell you what they're about.
Yeah.
So you have to read the energy.
That's
so,
true.
You know, you can have two people saying exactly the same thing and they could be saying the right things, right? But if one guy just has a very low energy, that's something to pay attention to, right? So I think that a lot of the new agers, I mean, we talked about this before. People can check out some of the previous shows or interviews that we've done. A lot of the new agers, they're only looking at the light side, you know, which is part of it, right? That we're moving into a kind of a new bandwidth. Humanity is moving, quote unquote, up a level, right? So there's a lot of good things about that. But the other side of it is now where people would fight on the street physically, now you're moving into that Aquarian air sign of the energetics, right? So you could have mind war, psychic warfare. You could have, this element of deception. It becomes all the more important to read what's just below the surface. And I'm sure plenty of your listeners are these kind of people that they're very in tune. You could say they're clairvoyant or, you know, intuitive, sensitives. And, you know, this is this kind of talent or this kind of personality. Before, it was something that was kind of disregarded or not really accepted. But we're moving into a time when everybody, sooner or later, is going to have to catch up and understand what this is, right? So
yeah. Well, you know, I have an interesting question I just thought of too. You know, and since these pyramids and these tools are kind of like, in a way, it's almost like magic. You know, it's an unseen force that an unseen energy that's working. So I know in certain magical shamanic practices, their plants and were used for magical purposes. They're typically like gathered at certain times of the year for more magical energies within it, like during summer solstice or after during certain equinoxes or solstices. I'm wondering if the crystals in your pyramids that you use are harvested on certain times of the year that give them a more energy or more abilities. I'm wondering if that is possible.
Well, I mean, with the orgone pyramids, some people call it orgonite, but for copyright reasons, I say orgone pyramids on my site. It's composed of three materials. You have plastic resin that holds it together. you have the quartz crystal and then a mix of metal shavings or metal particles. And these materials combined, I mean, it seems crazy. It's like very simple, right? But these materials combined, it actually produces a field effect or a high energy. And you can add other stones such as shungite, black tourmaline, or whatever other stones to give it that the flavor of the energy of those stones, right? But as far as the times that these crystals are collected, I mean, you would have to probably do that yourself, you know, if you had access to a mine.
Yeah.
But generally, you really don't know when they were collected.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that there are certain places on the planet that are known for crystal and stones. So the quartz that I use comes from Arkansas. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, that there's an area in Arkansas that's very high energy. It's like you can almost just like stick a shovel in the ground and you're going to find quartz there, right? The other area that's very famous is Minas Gerais State in Brazil. And that's where the so-called Lemurian quartz comes from.
That's but where you got that real nice piece of quartz too, right? You had like that really nice piece that one time.
Yeah, I have some quartz wands. They're sort of like long points.
Yeah.
But, you know, quartz is quartz. So no matter where you get it from, it will have the properties of quartz, which is it's a high energy. Quartz is an amplifier. It's used in standard electronics industry for that purpose, right? It's an oscillator. It vibrates at a very even, regular pace. So in that way, it's a harmonizer. And so quartz is a key component in the pyramids. And actually, this is interesting because if you deal with any energy tool, whether it's Orgone pyramids or say the tensor rings, our friend Brian Besko at Twisted Sage, right? He's very famous for the tensor ring, the copper ring tools.
And that's let me put the website up in the chat room. That's twistedsage.com.
Yeah. Because, you know, the thing is also, I think one thing that you learn using energy tools and just balancing yourself is that we should be sharing and come to this with an open heart, you know? So I have no problem saying, hey, I'm really into the pyramids. That's kind of my specialty. But I don't specialize in tensor rings. And Brian Besko at Twisted Sage, he has some great products. It's another way to get this kind of high energy. So basically, there's different ways to get this, you know, scalar energy or so-called orgone, right? Yeah. You can use tensor rings. You can use pyramids. And quartz itself, just bare quartz itself, has this energy. So if you would take a bag of quartz, like a pound of quartz, right, put it by your head when you sleep, you're going to have really good sleep because it's very similar to having a strong orgone pyramid on your bedstand. Because all these tools, you know, you're actually dealing with the same energy. And this kind of orgone or the scalar energy or the zero point is actually synonymous with the thought form or the thought wave. So when you really get into the energy tools and pyramid power and so forth, I would say it's a great entry point to understanding psychic work, paranormal, metaphysical, and it gives a scientific explanation of how, you know, remote healing, remote viewing, and all these things could be possible. Because actually, you know, when you start understanding that these energies are, you know, so-called quantum, or it's a holographic universe, and the thought wave, you know, how can you think about somebody and get information about them or send them healing energies, right? Yeah. There's no distance dimension, right? You can do that across the planet. It's because these kind of pyramid energies, the energy from your heart center, which is a scalar generator, it's the same thing. So, you know, you could tie that back to the Egyptians. They used to save the heart and put it in a Coptic jar, right? And they just threw the brain out. Now, there was a reason for that because they knew that the heart center is basically what allows the true human being to be a creator. And so these people that are you know, really focusing on the artificial intelligence and trying to live forever in a chip or upload it to the cloud, they completely misunderstand what it is that the human being, you know? So, yeah.
Well, you know, in the chat room, I know Chu in the chat room was asking about rose quartz, if you use that in your pyramids, and if there's a specific type of quartz. Like, you just use usually the regular quartz crystal, right?
Yeah, well, that's interesting because he might be tapping into something, because I actually have some rose quartz that I was going to make some rose quartz pyramids. I just haven't gotten around to it. But typically, people will see that, you know, in the tip of my pyramids, it, you know, if I have a clear tip pyramid, there'll be a quartz crystal in there that's clear, the clear quartz. Because for me, when I'm making the tools, I try to make them as neutral as possible, like basically just make a high energy tool, and then it's for you to take and do what you want with it. Sometimes, you know, I have the shungite pyramids, and shungite is it's a natural EMF shield. It's a black stone. It's basically a special type of carbon. So those pyramids, you know, they also have, I put a clear quartz in it, but because like the body will be black, people in esoteric know that, you know, colors have a meaning.
Yeah.
So whenever you see black stones, they're usually grounding, protection and so forth, just like obsidian, right? Black glass obsidian. Obsidian will bounce energies off. But the shungite, it kind of like, it never needs to be cleaned. It's very high energy. And, I would say that to this point, I really haven't used, you know, other color quartz, like in the tip, but, you know, the rose quartz, you know, when I get around to it, I'll make some.
Now, we all know that when you alter the shape of something, you change the energy of it. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been fascinated with the crystal skulls stories most of my life that, you know, since mm-hmm. I'm young. And do you think now, okay, first, before we get to that the crystal skull thing, the crystal wand that you have, being in the shape of the wand, was it naturally formed that way, or was it carved into a wand?
I have a – if it's the one that I think you're talking about, I have a wand from Minas Gerais. It was a Lemurian point. It's about maybe a foot long, but it was polished. A lot of people see the Lemurian quartz is very famous for these striations or these horizontal lines along the crystal. So a lot of people, they like to keep that there. But the one I had was actually polished smooth. But the so-called Lemurian quartz from Minas Gerais, and Minas Gerais means General Mines. It's the name of the state.
Whoa.
It's next to Sao Paulo State in Brazil. They say that it's almost like somebody stuck them in the ground to be found, because uh-huh. they're a lot of times they'll be pointing down, like stuck into the sandstone.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so basically they just take a high pressure water hoses and they just blast the sand, you know, away from these points. And then they just pull them out. Yeah. I think a lot of them are already mined, because it was from this one particular mine. But like I said, quartz is quartz. So, you know, if you know about some of these other places like Arkansas, which I think is highly underrated, you can find some very high quality, like water clear quartz for not that expensive. Because quartz is basically, you know, it's sand. It's one of the most, it's silicon, right? It's one of the most common materials on the planet. And the great thing is, it's your go-to stone. Like, for people that are into crystals and stones, you know, I would say if you don't have any, go get some quartz. That's your first go-to stone.
So, yeah, so the wand that you have, I mean, the skulls alone are said to alter their perception of reality. Does the wand have any kind of properties to it that makes you feel maybe like you feel like waves of energy, or you're seeing waves?
Well, I would say this, you know, just the shape of a quartz point, it's almost like an obelisk, right?
Yeah.
So it will literally shoot a beam of energy out from the tip. So most people, third eye is sensitive to these kind of energies. So if you just put like the tip of a pyramid up to your forehead, or you put like, say, a shungite ball or a sphere, or you put the tip of the quartz point in front of your forehead, you'll feel the energy. It's not subtle. Well, most people can feel it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I mean, you know, I've been fascinated by these crystal skull stories. So, I mean, we have like 5 minutes to a break, so we might as well touch on that. We're on the crystals.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, I would like to, you being very intuitive and a psychic as well, mm-hmm. and I would like your psychic opinion on this as well. If do you think carving or somehow, I don't know how these skulls were found, and we all know the Mitch's Hedges skull, that's like one of the best known skulls out there, mm-hmm. but you know, they say that the Maya, they get this knowledge from the Pleiades, that they come from the Pleiades and they obtained all their knowledge and technological whatever you want to call it, technological abilities, including these crystal skulls from the Pleiades. I know, and we all know that there's the Greeks named one of the stars in the Pleiades Maya. But some of the rarest stories that come out of these crystal skulls say that the greatest wise men of all lived in a parallel dimensions related to Kayala, or paradise to them, and that this is where they sculpted these crystal skulls. Okay, do you feel that these crystal skulls were made in our dimension by humans, or were they made somewhere else? And B, do you think that when they're carved into the exact proportions of a human skull, it gives it magical properties?
Okay, I hadn't even thought about, you know, your first question, but I'm thinking about it, and I feel they were made here, but it was with a higher understanding that we probably don't even have right now. And then, yes, the shape, there's such a thing as shape power, which is something we're not taught. So that's why just making something in a cone shape or a pyramid shape or a sphere or a cube, these shapes have different energies to them. So one thing about the proportion of the skull and the human face is it's in a phi ratio. So you could say that something that's carved into a skull shape, it's almost like a crystal in a way, or, you know, like a crystalline form, just like the phi ratio of the spiral seashell, yeah. or the plant leaves. It has an encoding to it. And, you know, because we talked about this off air, but I'm kind of interested to find a good crystal skull to try out some viewing with it. And I don't know if you know this, but the master of the crystal skulls, he passed away now, like over 10 years ago. I think he was a Strega, because his name was Nick Nocerino. He was originally from wow. New York, and then he relocated, I think, somewhere in the Bay Area. His daughter still is a holder of one of the Mayan skulls. And he started collecting these skulls, or they actually came to him. They appeared in his life, you know, in his life story.
Yeah.
In World War II, he was with the Americans wow. and the, you know, like Normandy, storming the beaches, and he was in France. And he told a story about, you know, he was wearing crystals, and this is 1940s, highly unusual for people to wear crystals, right? And somehow these French farmers knew, like, this is the guy. We need to give the skull to him. And he's like, I don't, like, what are you doing with this crystal skull? I don't know. This is 1940s, like World War II, right? He's like, I'm in the military in the, you know, the fight against the Nazis. What am I doing with the crystal skull? But he was born to be the master of the crystal skulls. So people can look up the name Nick Nocerino. He was, you know, the modern master of the crystal skulls.
That's interesting. And, you know, they say that this and that way we have a question in the chat room, but we probably have to get to that after break. But they say that these skulls contain like all the historical and scientific information from both of these dimensions, you know, mm-hmm. and I guess they're sort of like a supercomputer, and there's probably more advanced than anything we can possibly even, you know, think of, you know. And I think that, you know, I know Hewlett-Packard spent some time with the Mitchell Hedges skull. So what does that tell you? I mean, right there.
Well, you know, when we cross the after the break, I can get into the cone shape and how that might relate to some of the unusual skulls that they're finding all over the planet. So
okay, yeah. No, after the break, we got a question about where was it? What's the difference between square waves and sine waves? So if you can maybe touch on that too after the break, we'll get back. And we're here with everybody's just joining us. We're here with Masaki Miyagawa at Akaida.com. And this song is called Patagonia by Far Radio Clouds. We'll be back after this. Spiral out.
Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back. And we are with my buddy Masaki Miyagawa from Akaida.com. And that's AKAIDA.com. And if you're just joining us, I advise you to catch the replay of the first segment because we recommend certain tools that you can get at Akaida.com. And we'll discuss more as well, including the shungite, because I recently got a piece of shungite, a shungite ball from Masaki, and it's really powerful. And I have it right by the bed, and it is really, really powerful. But to answer the question in chat about the sine wave too. I know they were anxious to hear.
Well, okay. Basically, there's different kinds of waveforms. So the sine wave is, you know, what a typical sound wave looks like. It has like a nice round rise, and then, you know, it looks like a hill, basically. It's a very even, rounded, curved wave, right? So there's a very natural rise and fall. A square wave, it looks like a notch or kind of like a square. So it's a pulse. It's a hard on off. It, if you were thinking about it from, say, like a home stereo perspective, a sine wave would be like if you had your hand on the volume knob and you turned it up and then you turned it down. So kind of like, you know, the signal going rising, rising, rising and falling, falling. A square wave would be if you just like on off, on off. So that's the difference. Typically, I use the square wave, actually, when I'm, you know, doing a, because I have a frequency generators that I use with the powered pyramids. I feel that the square wave is like a little more intense, so I like to use the square wave. But, you know, it's people can experiment. I would say the sine wave, it's a little more natural, so it's a little more subtle. But yeah, do you want me to go into the cone heads and the shape power?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and you know, whoever feels this call to use certain tools as this and crystals, mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of like they're remembering something from their past, and you start to reestablish your value as a human being, and whoever understands that true nature of who we are, it starts to build a whole new world for yourself and your state of being and your mental state of being as well.
Well, I would say this. Using energy tools, it's not just good for you, but I think that it's necessary now because just look at how crazy, chaotic, incoherent the energies around us are. Like, I'm sure, you know, New York is not that much different from LA. The people are driving crazy. They're walking around crazy. They're not even looking at each other.
Yeah.
They're looking at their phones, the scrying, the black mirror of their smartphone, you know? So when you have things like crystals, which is literally coherence, right? It's a crystalline lattice structure. It's order. You know, it has a high energy to it. When you use orgone pyramids, when you use things like the tensor rings, basically you create, it not only raises your vibration, but it creates like a sort of like a bubble of high energy around you. So, you tell me, Rob, because you have a bunch of my tools. What do you feel using them or what difference do you notice having the pyramids around?
Oh, complete difference. Mm-hmm. I have them in different places of where I live, and the one room I have it, some devices in, like, has actually the fuse box in that room, and mm-hmm. that room I have like a lot of tower busters in that room to kind of mm-hmm. like try to clean the airway and clear that buzz and that woom woom that feeling you get from it, and it's really hard for me to like tap in that room. I think it's because of that fuse box as well. But in another room where I have some of your pyramids as well, and I have the powered pyramid and the Shungai ball and the wand from Twisted Sage, I have a lot of things around in that room, and it's kind of like as soon as I lay down and I'm relaxed, I immediately tap into things immediately, and it's like as soon as I go there, as soon as I close my eyes, even my things start to swirl and I start to see the holographic universe is the best way to describe it, and it's pretty intense. Not to mention that the power device, I only can leave on for about an hour or two. I've talked to some people that they say that they leave it on all night, and I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Are you crazy? Because I can't, because like it'll be – it just kind of
– You'll be boosted up into the astral realm and won't come back.
Yeah, it's like it's too much almost. And that's from a, just a I know we've talked about it before, but that's just from a little stupid 9-volt.
Yeah, 9-volt power.
Yeah, a little tiny 9-volt. So imagine something.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, for most people, I would say the most common feedback is better sleep, because sleep's the time when your body recharges and repairs. And, you know, basically people are not getting full sleep because of all the Wi-Fi, the smart meters, and so forth. But, you know, depending on how strong the pyramid is, you will start to have more vivid dreams. And some people that are sort of like psychic channels, like I would consider you very intuitive, they will not just get better sleep. They're, you know, just a regular unpowered pyramid, they might start, you know, getting intense messages or dreams.
Yeah.
But if you use the powered pyramid, the powered pyramid's like, now you're going to the moon, because it's a powered frequency. So, you know, I'm sure that you might have done this, like when you're reading some of the books, doing research, looking on the internet. If you have the powered pyramid running with, say, like a 15 hertz frequency, which is like a clear thinking meditation, you will just start going and going. And the levels and the things and the ideas that are coming, it's to like another level, you know. Yeah. You can also run chakra tones and things like that. So
yeah, I started with the Black Giza, mm-hmm. and that was really powerful. And then, you know, going to the power device, and then having some of the booster discs and the radionics paper and all of that. That's really, I really love that. But then you recently sent me the smaller pyramid with the real gold in it, and that's one of the most powerful ones I have too.
And oh yeah, well, you know there's a reason why say the ancients or like the royalty, right, would wear gold and silver, because they're very high energy, very high energetic. So, you know, I'm working on a new real gold pyramid right now, cuz I don't have it up on my store. I'm going to have a new one up soon. But, you know, basically, and these are tools, okay, because at the end of the day, you yourself are a generator. You are a creator, right? But it's like you're getting a helping hand by understanding the properties and the energies around us, right? So basically, it's helping you, like these the Orgone pyramids, they help you reclaim your space. To say, I am sovereign, you know, I have say that, like, basically your home should be your castle, right? And what's happening with the Wi-Fi, with these energies, with the smart meters, is they are encroaching on your space. It's like somebody, like, you know, isn't it annoying when you're, you know, out in public and somebody keeps bumping into you, or they're pushing into your space, right? Or they're up in your face. This is what's happening every minute of your day, but you just don't realize it, because these Wi-Fi signals are invisible to the human eye, right? But if you go up and you look at the Wi-Fi drop down on your laptop or computer, how many hotspots do you see? It's going to be like 20, 30, 40. And these are all signals that are overlapping now. So it's like, you know, it's not only you have a mini cell phone tower in your house, it's everybody else in your whole neighborhood or your whole building, right? So but the good thing is that, you know, in the time that it takes for people, for the society to start making big changes where we don't have these things anymore, right? They'll understand that the Wi-Fi is detrimental to human health. You yourself can just take the steps and say, hey, I'm covered. I got my energy tools. I got my pyramids. And so at least you can be safe in your space, right?
Yeah, everybody, you have to hear the call to reestablish your value as a human, and to continue to destroy nature is to live unaware. And, you know, right now there's a crisis of values on our planet. And, you know, if we choose incorrectly in what we – how we live, it's kind of – you're going to see yourself spin out of control like never before. Isn't that right, Misaki? Especially with the change that's upon us right now. If we choose incorrectly, our lives will spin out of control like never before.
Well, you know, it's kind of like we're kind of like in Groundhog's Day, because this all happened before in the previous cycles. But I don't feel that we are going to, you know, have an apocalypse. What I think is happening is we're getting restriction now, and we're hitting we're kind of like at a nodal point on the timeline where humanity is being faced with these problems to really make us realize, you know, what is the human being? What is the human spirit? What are the energies? What does it mean to go into the Aquarian age where things are energetic or so-called? Because you could call energy spirit, right? So what is energy and what is spirit? And these transhumanists and the people that are looking at technology as a means to end, or they're looking at it as technology is the ultimate, right? Technology is just a tool. You know, and if you don't have the deeper wisdom or understanding, then that's when it becomes a problem, right?
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about this a little bit. It's especially this D-Wave and this Kindred companies and things like this who are promoting machines to take over for what we do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is, I would say, so what Ron's talking about is there's a company called D-Wave. They have the quantum computers that are supposedly accessing alternate dimensions to come up with computations and, you know, solutions. And basically, when you have so much computing power behind it, it starts to become an artificial intelligence, right? And the only thing is, you know, machines can replicate, but they cannot create. Only the human being can create. You know, so I would say that this transhumanist, you know, machine world route, it's pure ego, because you want to live forever in the 3D world on a chip or something. It's completely ridiculous, because they misunderstand what creation is. They're looking at it from a purely material standpoint, right? To the point where some of these guys, they have a group called Five Eyes. It's basically the technocracy. They think that they are going to live on their hidden islands while everybody else is basically a slave to the system that's coming in, right? What they misunderstand is there is such a thing as karma. And karma is related to the fact that we are all created from the same energy, you know? So it's not like, oh, just be a good person, be good to people. It's like, no, you should do that, but there's a deeper implication. If there's a child crying, if there's people hungry in the world, there is no wall, there is no hidden island you can, you know, hide from the quantum reality.
Yeah.
That will blow back on you, and this is what they misunderstand. Yeah. That see, the robot mind, the robot future is complete. It's the illusion of separation when we are all connected, you know?
That's so true. I mean, I was watching that one video by that Jordy guy, who is one of the founders, or at least the money backer behind some of D-Wave and Kindred. And he was talking how, the AI that we're talking about can do anything a human can do, but they can do it better. And the first thing that was popping in my head was like, yeah, what about compassion? What about things like that? What about, you know, weighing the situation, and if it's detrimental to somebody's life or safety, you know, then you don't go ahead with the plan. What about that?
Well, I mean, you know, you could chop this up in a million ways, but you can even look at, you know, Stranger Things, right? Very popular series. I think it's like the hottest series out there right now, for sure on Netflix. Stranger Things, based on the whole Montauk Project. You know, in Montauk, they had to use, you know, people. They had to use young boys and children to power the portals and whatever they were doing, right? They couldn't use a machine or, you know, program a machine to use another machine to do their magical workings. They had to use the human being, because there's something magical about the human being is schizophrenic. We're sort of like the center point of creation. We're like half angel and half devil, but in the kind of the friction that's within us, it creates, you know, it creates a certain kind of energy that a lot of the other so-called races, I don't know if they're ET, interdimensional, or whatever, they don't seem to have. So even though the human being is like totally mixed up, there's something special about humans.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in some of the Sumerian tales, they talk about Marduk and how Marduk created the robot man to basically help him, and he gave them sort of like their genetic imprint, put the mark of the gods on them in a way, and on a being that would already exist. And I think we have some sort of divine spark inside of us, and that we're able to be portals of ourselves, where we're able to access certain things that you other beings would need technology for, maybe. And, you know, in a way we are sort of like robots. And, you know, in the Enuma Elish, they talk about the creation of man and how it's sort of the gods created this robot to assist them. And, you know, it's interesting to talk of this, because if something first exists in the astral plane and in the thought form, then it would first have to exist as a thought to exist in the physical plane, right?
Yeah. For many things, before we see it in the physical, or we see a trend or something that's happening in the physical 3D world, it starts as an energetic trend. So, you know, that's why it's important, like the Buddha said, be mindful of your thoughts, you know, because that's where it starts, right?
Well, at the same time, too, as this is that, so if that's the case, and then if some of these portals and these entities that come into this dimension are here through rituals and here through blood offerings, and they're sort of sacrifices and rituals and all of these things are what's keeping them alive in this dimension through thought and incantations and prayer and mantras, all of the and rituals and sacrifices keeping them here and keeping the portals open. I think that sort of like the Mayans, when they were sacrificing people, and they were it was sort of keeping their portal open, their entities here. And I think it's happening in modern days now with certain mass killings from 9/11 to the Las Vegas incident, certain things that are happening. We're having this modern day sacrifice of people to keep this unseen force controlling this dark realm.
Well, I mean, basically, you know, these things are going on, but it's on the people or individuals to take responsibility. So you might think of it as a small thing, but keeping your space sovereign, high energy, and making your home your castle, or say it's an arm's length, you know, you're walking down the street, but you have your energy tools on you, you have your pyramid on your bedstand. See, everything is holographic, right? So people look at what's going on in the world and say, what can I do as one person to affect a positive change? It's kind of overwhelming. But the thing is that if one by one we do our homework and we take care of our own house, that is very powerful, you know? So using things like an Orgone pyramid, you know, that's the first step. And can I go on to the cone heads and the shape power, because it relates to the pyramids? Okay,
sure.
So like I was saying, there's a thing called shape power, which we are not taught in school. So one of the most powerful shapes is the cone or a pyramid shape, because if you spin a pyramid 360 degrees, right, it becomes a cone, right? So when you look through history and metaphysics and occultism, you'll see this cone shape come up over and over again. It's not as well known as, say, the cube.
Well, but even in the speaker, we have a cone inside the speaker, right?
Well, exactly, because, you know, a cone shape is an amplifier. So anything you put into a cone shape or a pyramid shape, it's much more directed and powerful than if you just cast it into like a hockey puck or a cube. Okay. Actually, the cube is probably the worst energetic shape to have. And what is our world made of? It's made of squares and cubes, right? So if ETs came down and they looked around at the shape of the houses we live in and the apartments and the buildings, they say, yeah, you guys could probably benefit from some pyramids or something like that. But it's very interesting that one of the key motifs in occultism is the Phrygian cap. They say the Liberty cap. It's a little Smurf hat, right? And a lot of the witches and so forth, they had like cone hats, right? I really think this goes back to the giants and the Nephilim race, because they're finding these elongated skulls like Brian Forrester, Paracas. Actually, it was all over the world, but a lot of them have even been hidden or destroyed. But there are these, you know, giant skeletons with these elongated skulls. So basically what that is, it's putting a cone or a pyramid shape on the back of your head. If you had a cone-shaped skull, you would have extreme psychic power. So think about that. And this is known from the Russians. There was a scientist called Kozarev, and they were messing around with shape power. And so certain shapes will allow you to tap into psychic power.
Yeah, I've mentioned this before on talks. Even I think that's why Merlin and all those ancient wizards had cone hats, because they were trying to amplify their thoughts.
Well, I remember one time you told a story about a Strega ritual where you put the water out in a bowl.
Yeah.
Under the moon, right? Yep. Was it full moon?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you take the water from the curved bowl, right? Yeah. And you wipe a mirror on it. To me, that might have a significance of you're transferring not just the moon energy, but the curvature of the bowl. Because that's not, you know, it's that kind of cone shape, and that transfers onto the mirror. So it's very interesting when you get into the pyramid power.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, I think even the ones that weren't naturally cone-headed, I think they were trying to forge their heads into skull by head binding. I don't think they were just trying to mimic their gods. I think they were trying to get more psychic capabilities.
Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful shapes is like the egg shape, because basically that's a combination of the pyramid and the sphere. And that's basically what these cone head skulls are like, right?
Wow.
So
you know, everybody can pick up Misaki's tools at akaida.com, akaida.com, and it can help with the harmful Wi-Fi signals, like he mentioned. Also, you know, just the cable companies alone. I mean, just take the names of them alone, like Time Warner or Spectrum, or, you know, just these little names of these cable companies, like Cablevision.
We used to have Lucent out here. It's like Lucifer, right?
Yeah, and Time Warner, like it's warning you of time. And it's I know it had the Spectrum, and Time Warner had the symbol with the eye, with the hypnotic spiral inside of the eye telling you you're being entranced by the TV, basically. And, you know, it's right before our eyes. I mean, we're getting bombarded with all this harmful technologies. And one way to cleanse it is through Mikasaki's tools and the Orgone power. And anything else you want to mention? We still got like 2 minutes.
Oh, well, in 2018, I'm going to take my show on the road. So I have a giant powered pyramid in the works, and I'm going to take that on the road and do some live meditations, running chakra tones, frequencies, and Australia is definitely one of the places I want to hit. So if there's listeners out there from the Gold Coast, Brisbane area, Byron Bay, that's one of the places that I'm planning to visit. So 2018, I'll probably be down under, going back and forth, and, you know, and I'm working with some people in LA and Hollywood out here. So, you know, the people that are kind of tapped in, you'd be surprised what they're into, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, too, that, we, you know, just them being called stars, you know, and the stars of Hollywood, and how the stars are looking down on us, almost like they're saying they're above us or they're better than us. It's interesting how, you know, they separate them from us like they're better than us, and they're these stars that we need to worship like they're gods. It's interesting how they portray it, and I think we need to shatter all that and return back to the age of the wise men. And Misaki, it's been great having you. Everybody, you got to check out akaida.com, akaida.com, and you can always find me at themysticalspiral.com. We'll see you next time, guys. And
see you next time.
Out. Thank you, Misaki. Spiral out. Reflecting